All right. Hey, welcome, everybody. It's Anthony Chansamu from Simple Creative Marketing, and we are, I don't even know what number it is, but we're going live with Authentic Influence, and I have with me my dear friend and mentor, Sandra D'Souza from Elect. Now, just a bit of background, like we've known each other for a while, and just to see your journey has been tremendous, but to give context to this conversation, on International Women's Day 2019, Sandra launched Elect to address the gender gap in business with its procurement marketplace that connects small businesses with corporate buyers. Now, every transaction has a social impact on gender equality, which is why I want to bring Sandra onto the show to talk about that. Elect is aligned with United Nations Global Goal number 5, which is gender equality. To be a purpose-driven business where parts of the proceeds fund known gender equality projects. The website is elect.biz, and you can find Sandra on all the socials, and we'll tell you all about that, because before she was at Elect, she was doing something very much social related. So how about we start there, Sandra? Where were you before you started Elect?
That's true. So before I was, I had my own digital marketing agency, and I also published a book on and you're on mute.
Yeah, I'm still here, so if I fade, it's not because I've got that, I'm still here. So you had your own agency and you're doing social media, so yeah, and your book, because I actually went to your book launch. That was a fantastic
that's
event.
right yeah, so it was about social media. And after that, I guess, I loved doing what I was doing, and I built a pretty good agency, and I came across the UN Global Goals. I did, I think, Anthony, you're familiar with Roger James Hamilton. I've always done the whole wealth dynamics, talent dynamics profile, which has helped me in, you know, with team management. But then when I did my purpose test, and realized that my purpose was about gender equality, it wasn't an aha moment. It was like, it was a no-brainer moment. It was like, you know, that is my purpose. I've spent 20 years volunteering for an international NGO on women's issues, and you know, very much Roger says, well, why don't you combine business with purpose and do it that way? So in order to do that, I was lucky enough that I found a buyer for my agency, which gave me time to try and nurture the business model. But I guess that's where I was at before Elect and how it came about.
I love that purpose test, because I did that as well. After you recommended, actually, because you had done it, and I went, oh, you should check this out. And 100% agree with I still recommend the Wealth Dynamics test to people. I still say that's one of the best psychometric types of, you know, personality tests, if you want to call it that, for just identifying what your strengths are, and to do it with the purpose test is amazing, because then you go, okay, well, that's actually my North Star, and that's where I'm headed and have been all my life. You know, sometimes it takes that moment to go, actually, goal number 4. So for me, number 4, education, right? Like that's, it's like, oh, no brainer. But we have these moments where we kind of confuse or conflict it, because we can think about, well, but I spend a lot of time building community. So is community my thing, right? Or is it, you know, gender equality? Or is it, because we can jump in and out of all these missions and causes. Exactly. And I think the test just kind of like crystallizes it for you and just goes, well, that's the driver. And then all the other things will feed into that, but that's what it is. And you lead with that. I love that. I love that you've arrived there, and I've seen you kind of build this business, this enterprise, for the last few years since you sold the company, and it's just been wonderful to see you really go all in, I guess, on the purpose. Like, this is what I'm doing, and, you know, this is what it's all about. And you've got your amazing daughter, and of course, and that's a huge part of it, and your husband and all, everyone that you touch. But I can definitely see that thread that's been consistent with you ever since I've known you. Like, that's what it's all about. So now let's talk about something that came up even, you know, before we were planning this interview, which was, you know, social enterprise versus purpose-driven business.
That's right.
What?
Yeah. So I know that, you said you were correcting yourself, business to say social enterprise, and I wanted to jump in and say, no, it's actually a business. So I wanted to make that clear. There's nothing wrong with social enterprise. There's some amazing social enterprises out there. But what I've found, the definition of social enterprise is very much more aligned with charity or not-for-profit. What I'm actually doing is a profitable business. I'm building a profitable business. It is a business for profit, but what it does is that it has a positive impact, a positive social impact into society, and it's a purpose-driven business in terms of what it's trying to achieve. So I guess that's the difference, is that profitable businesses are not, it's not bad. It's actually a good thing. We want businesses to be profitable, and we want businesses to actually do good. And this is where I like how the UN goals have come into play with their global goals, is to say that, how do you align your business with one or more of these goals and make a positive impact, and include ethics and include values and include the purpose, so that if all businesses actually do good business, I think we will see a far better, I guess, society and harmonious, maybe no world wars, no poverty, everybody's educated. I don't want it to make it sound like it's utopia, but certainly I think there's nothing wrong, firstly, for business to be purpose-driven or to have a positive impact, and secondly, for it to make profit as well.
Yeah, and those are very strong points, and there's a whole world we can dive into. There's a whole conversation around just money mindset, and can you really make money while doing good? And, a whole ton of coaching I've done personally on my own values and my own belief systems around that. And I remember a coach saying to me many years ago now, and we need people like you who are heart-driven, who are purpose-driven, to go out there and make it work, and be models of, that being a possibility, because we there are people out there who are not so aligned and more so like just all about the profit and cashing out and whatever that is, but not really about the social impact or making change in the world, which I struggle with at times, because my thinking is, well, most entrepreneurs are solving problems. Like the reason you become an entrepreneur or start a business is you've identified some kind of problem, whether it's in your community, in the market, whatever it may be, and you're trying to solve it to improve that in some
way.
So by doing so, you are changing the world. Like there is something that's changing. But what we're talking about here is much deeper than that, whereas, like you're talking about gender equality, which is a massive challenge, all over the place. If we go to the US and what's been happening this year with Black Lives Matter and these type of things, what was that movement around, particularly for women, about there was a whole
Me Too.
That's right.
Yes.
And so things like that coming to social consciousness, and here you are going, well, let's do something about it. So how did you go from that concept, right, to then deciding what the business model would look like?
It's a very good question. And I guess having been in business, I've learned a few things. I've made a lot of mistakes, Anthony, and I didn't want to make the same mistakes again. I wanted to make sure that I didn't want it to be a not-for-profit. I didn't want it to be a consultancy group. So working in gender equality, it doesn't have to be a charity. So what I wanted to do is, and I'm hoping you're still listening to what I'm saying here, what I wanted to do is to make sure that it has a scalable platform and incorporate technology into this. And by doing that, what I've done is spend quite a bit of time on trying to get the the business model right, because it's not easy. Like, how do you build a business around gender equality? So it's quite challenging. And so what I did then is, again, I was part of the whole Entrepreneur Institute with Roger of trying to, I had him as the coach, as you know, like the whole Crystal Circle. I had that as part of my digital marketing business. And when I sold that, it's like, okay, now it's time to work on Elect and spend the time on putting together the business model and working out of how to, he was very big, like, let's create a business that you can 10 times easily. And when you say easily, but how, what is that? What does that look like? And you do need to find something that is fast and scalable. And the reason being is that I wanted technology to reach out as easily to as many people as possible to have that positive impact on gender equality. So spent 6 months actually working out the model. And it's quite crazy when, you know, you have this idea, you talk to people and then they give you that idea and you give that idea and then you're all over the place. And then I would then go back to the coach and then he says, oh, well, no, stay focused. Bring it back. That's, you know, you don't want to go off the tangent, stay focused. And that's when the business model of addressing supplier diversity came about. Supplier diversity is an important issue, and small businesses need to connect with corporate buyers, and both actually want to make sure that they are connected and work together. So small business want more sales. Corporate buyers were looking for, supplier diversity and accessing small businesses as part of their mandate in terms of their procurement policy. So needed to come up with something which is quite simple, and so what the model that eventually became was a small business connecting with corporate buyers and at a transactional level. Every transaction funds a gender equality project. Now, I just wanted to point out it was initially going to be supporting just women-owned businesses, but I did my research and I got a lot of pushback on that, both for men and women, to say, look, you know, why, if you want to do gender equality, why don't you look at things of how to make it gender equality? And so that's how it kind of like evolved into this model.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm surprised and also not surprised at the pushback because of the rationale. Because I know there are you know, women's only or women entrepreneur groups. There are I remember someone coming up with a men's only kind of group, and then there was a whole backlash around that and going and their argument was, but there are all these women only group. Why can't we have a men's only group? And you know, people were saying, well, you're missing the point. And just to hear that, you know, you've arrived at your model because of the feedback. So, yeah. But what it does say to us is, you know, there is value in actually asking, you know, your supply chain and whoever it may be, you know, would this resonate with you? Would you support it? And I suppose that also for those watching this and thinking about, okay, well, how do I launch a social a purpose-driven business?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the way to go about that? And I think that initial. So how much time did you spend on actually collecting that feedback and understanding what the market actually wanted?
I think I did spend about 6 months, but it was also I had a full time job with the acquisition of my agency that I was working along, so I had to work that in the background. But I think what I had, you know, the whole minimum viable product, I needed to work out what was the minimum viable product. And I followed the whole lean startup process, and that is getting the feedback. Will people, you know, you could have an amazing business idea, but if people don't buy from you, then it's pointless. And you can't build a business based on your idea without talking to anybody or just talking to a handful of people. So I wanted to spend the time, luckily I had the luxury of that, to really get the model right. And it helped having a coach, by the way, just to, you know, say, that's a shitty idea. Where did you find that out? And so it's in my head. It's like, well, go get the feedback. So he didn't actually say it was a shitty idea. And I'm sorry, I swore on this, okay. By the way.
You're not the first and you're not the last. That's fine.
Okay, all right, good. And so, so that was really good, getting the feedback, getting from the market. And then once the business model I had, the concept, down packed, and finding out how I was going to build that on the technology base. Before building on the technology base, I wanted to know if people were willing to pay for it. And I'm pretty lucky that I've got a good network of people, and there were people who understood, a group of people who understood what I was trying to do. And I reached out to my network, not everybody, but just some, and said, look, will you be willing to sign up for this? And so I actually made my revenue before I even built it. And that is, I had somebody who, I had a group of people, my first batch of customers, who signed up, paid an annual membership before I even built it. Then I thought, okay, then I'm onto something. I'm onto something people are willing to part money with, and then built from that kind of thing. So that's how it all came about.
Wow. Okay. Tell me about that. How did you, so when you say you made revenue before the actual launch, what did that look like, and what did you go to each, because you've got a two-sided marketplace, right? So basically, yeah. So how did you, I guess, using Glenn Carlson dent language here, is, yes, is what was the pitch? How did you go to each of these parties and actually pitch Elect?
It's harder to go straight to the corporate buyers for something that's brand new. They won't part money on a concept unless you really, really know the people. And I think people who believe the person that you are, and the network, is really the trusting. They trust that when you take their money, that you are going to do something about it, and you're not just going to take the money and run off with it and never see them. So I focused on the small business side, how much of a demand would mean to them to access this and being a member, and also the gender equality piece in terms of the network, social impact that, you know, that's important to them. And it was from men and women, by the way. Even my husband, part money with him. He didn't have to pay for it, but I said, I'm doing this, you know. I even pitched it to him, and then later on he says, you know what, I'm going to buy a membership. So he also bought a membership out of it, from believing that this is something that was that had a sound business model, and that he, which I felt that he felt, which I think that that I will deliver it. So the actual pitch back then was quite different in a way to where it is now, but ultimately it was three things that hasn't changed. One is me doing it. Two is a marketplace, and three, it's about gender equality. It's trying to find ways to solve gender equality. So those three hasn't changed at all, but how I pitch, the wording, all of that has evolved over the time period. And if I could go on, by the way, so even though it was all very exciting, I got the revenue, I built the marketplace. I was told, I mean, again, great advice was given to me. Don't spend it on R&D and build something. Get a white label. Try that as part of your minimum viable product to test it out. And I'm so glad I did that. I launched it in 2019. I want the birthday to be International Women's Day. And then I've got my batch of customers. Like I say, it's a beta launch. They all go on it. And it was a complete flop. The platform, the technology was really bad. The user experience wasn't very good. I was going back and forth with the technology company and trying to get improvements and get fixed. And it just, almost towards the end of Christmas, I had to bring in a technical consultant and say, what do I do? Do I just keep pursuing it, or do I just pull the plug? And he took a look at it and he says, user experience is really important, which I know. And that's why I didn't really do a big launch in 2019. And he just said, pull the plug, start all over again. And this is what I did. So over December last year, I got another platform. And I worked throughout Christmas and New Year. I didn't really have a holiday, and just rebuilt that, getting the technology company to work during the break, helping me with what the, you know, with the configuration and things like that, and relaunched it. Relaunched it in January. Got the existing customers on, but then we thought, let's put in the work, and relaunched it in early March. So it was a bit of a journey, even though I tried and was careful, I did my due diligence, things could go wrong. but it was really good experience to have a beta phase.
Yeah, I think that's so valuable, and I'm glad that you shared that, because I think, you know, we can see companies like Thank You and whatever these brands are, and you go, it's so polished and so amazing, but when you hear the origin story, and you go, like, they literally were struggling for 2 or 3 years before it became a thing, and they were, you know, and your story is just amazing, just, you know, not that that process was amazing when you're in it, but it's a learning curve, isn't it? It's like, look, we're going to fall. This is normal. Maybe the platform's not right, but you don't learn until I've got a mentor by the name of Dan Norris, which you may be aware of. And he's got this in his book. He talks about you don't learn until you launch. You don't learn until you have your thing in front of your buyers. And they tell you, and that's crap, you know, or whatever it is, or I can't load it, it's not coming up on my phone, or whatever these problems are. And so now let's talk about, like, from that. So you've got the platform up, you worked through Christmas, last Christmas, getting it all to version 2 or version 3, whatever it is now. And so how then did you proceed to spread the word about Elect and get more, you know, whether it's corporate buyers or on the other side, getting more people who are suppliers? Like, how did you sort of have that process going?
Yeah, so I get my network, because I've been in the women's space type of thing. I showed to a few key people what I'm working on, and, you know, they knew me in the marketing space because I've done some work for them. And they said, oh, wow, that's amazing. And so I was given the opportunity through the connection to speak at a couple of major conferences, international conferences, which they were supporting me to showcase Elect at the the Commission of Status of Women. Is CSW for short. It's a UN conference for women that's held every February, March in New York City. So I literally got my ticket to go there. And I was invited to speak at the Global Summit of Women Conference, which has 1,500 delegates from government, corporate, international NGOs, small businesses, entrepreneurs in Bangkok. And they were going to be my massive launch to really get the word out there. But guess what? COVID happened. So all of a sudden, all of the, like, arrangement deals, I had joint ventures, all just stopped. Nothing happened in terms of, like, they all just have to pull the plug. And so and the other thing that I've learned was to have really good advisors. So I told you about having a good coach, but I had, like, talking to people who are expert in their field, and I was talking to who has since now become the chairperson of my advisory board. And I said, then she was showing me what was happening in New York, what was going on, how people are addressing COVID. And like you said, you know, sometimes you have to do it with what drives you. And then I thought, yes, I have a perfectly good platform. A lot of small businesses, all of a sudden they were collapsing because the clients were going and they need a digital presence. So what I did was I thought, you know what, don't worry about the missed opportunities. Don't worry about the revenue. I'm going to open up my platform. And I said, no membership fees, no transaction fees. Sign up, we will try and get you buyers for your businesses. And just put the word out there. Pretty much we did Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of it, but it was LinkedIn that has actually gotten the most traction. And so we had a whole bunch of people signing up on Elect, wanting the digital presence when they urgently needed that. And around the same time, or since then, the corporate side, they had international suppliers, they couldn't access them, the supply chain has all been disrupted, and they were actually then really looking for diversified suppliers. So there's this, again, movement on this change of attitude to look for different categories of suppliers, not just in their products or services, and looking for small businesses to support because they see that as something, but also the pain point that they have is that they shouldn't have all their eggs in one basket with one supplier. They were more open to having a range of suppliers. So they came in and also talking to me and say, we want to access, because guess what? It's not easy to find small business suppliers. Yes, you have different directories and things like that, but what Elect has essentially become is one place to find all the small businesses, and you have then the different categories of not only their products and services, but which we're going to introduce next. So feedback we've gotten is to identify whether they're women-owned, Indigenous-owned, or family business or regional businesses, because that's what corporate buyers are looking for.
Wow, like there's so much in that. Like I, you know, from the opportunity, what didn't look, you know, look like something was terrible at the time, to then this is the opportunity that presents. I remember, you know, just I was in that position too, looking at, okay, where are, you know, how can I access, there's some businesses that I work with that are in the e-commerce space, and for them, they were, you know, relying on products, goods and services coming from China. And of course, because of the lockdowns and things that were happening because of COVID, they couldn't access that anymore. And so some of them went out of business because they're like, well, what do we do? And so, you know, what I'm curious about is you mentioned LinkedIn worked better for you than other platforms. How did and you didn't, I assume the event didn't go ahead in New York. Did they switch to an online version?
They did. They did switch to more very mini version of that. And it's just one forum and it's only focused on one thing. So there was no opportunity for me to speak at any of those and or meet with people or network with people. So I had to abandon that strategy and just really go social media. And luckily, you know, like you pointed out that LinkedIn was a very effective form of doing it as well.
So just to give people some insight into that, is that a case of doing searches for companies that might be within your target profile and then reaching out to them? Or was that some, how did you go about actually identifying it? Or how did they find you? Is the question I really have in my mind. Yeah.
So I guess it was a three-prong approach. One was the social media post. Doing that, I did a video to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm opening up the platform. It's free. You know, I want to help you. Let me know how I can help you. Go to Elect. And that was a very effective video post. As you know, video post captures, like gets more attention. And then reaching out to, we actually reached out to different groups of people who I think that would have small businesses as their clients and say, this is what I'm doing. And if, you know, if you have anybody that you know could benefit from it and tell them it's free, I make no money out of it. I really want to support. And that also what I found that the response from that on LinkedIn, because I think it's all to do with business, it seems to resonate with that. I always found Facebook has been far more efficient of ways. Facebook, Instagram, depending on what you're doing, gets really good results. But in this particular case, when dealing with just small businesses, LinkedIn was really effective, like 10 times more effective than the others. So we just honed in all our resources into LinkedIn since then.
That's incredible. You should be like, if there was a, I don't know if LinkedIn do it, but if they were to profile different organizations, you'd be a great case study to say, well, this is how, you know, what Elect has been able to do. You know, that could be an angle.
I was going to say, hey, LinkedIn, if you're listening, I'm open for an interview.
100%. Now, I'm looking at the site and you've got basic member, business member, VIP member. And sort of what's the breakdown right now in terms of percentage, if you will, of the types of members that you have on the platform?
Yeah, so the ones I've pre-sold, they've become VIP members. And you know, it's only to be fair because they got the mates rates, so as part of the benefit of signing up first, and then since then when we opened up the platform, I was actually giving away the business membership to them. At the time we didn't have a free member plan, so it was like, you know, you become a business member forever. And I know I did make revenue out of it, but like I said, I genuinely wanted to help and it wasn't about revenue. But what that experience has taught me, and again, responding to the market, was that if you open up for free, businesses are more willing to try it out and to sign up and participate, and see if this could work for them. So that's when after 3 months, we thought, well, okay, we'll go back to the revenue model. But then, you know, said, look, let's introduce a free plan for those who just want to try it out. And that's the basic free plan came up. So businesses can sign up. They don't have to pay anything. And then they can be part of Elect. But all plans have a transaction fee. So even though I don't make much money out of the membership, it's the transaction fees what I'm looking at. And the transaction fees where it creates a social impact. So if we don't have income for that, then we can't create the social impact. So we've kept that even for the basic plan. And the feedback, again, is like they say, well, you bring in more sales for me, you bring in your business, willing to pay for it.
Yeah, because it becomes, and that's one thing on the supplier side, they find it very difficult to market effectively. So for them, yeah, it's like, how do we get our products out there? How do we get the buyers? And you've created the space or the platform for that to happen. And I think it's a brilliant model. Like I obviously an example would be Kiva, bit of a different angle on that approach, but that's one that's been, you know, we've seen for a while now. Yeah. And I've seen different variations of that as well. And I've always wondered, is that profitable? Does it actually, you know, hit certain objectives? Because it, like you said, you started off at the beginning, you know, you're not a charity, and it's not a not-for-profit. Like it's, it needs to be profitable. So it's sustained and the impact continuing, right? Because that's the whole point of it, is like we still want to support all these the cause, the gender diversity and all these things. And I think that's a wonderful journey that you're on. We're just going to wrap up in a moment. I'm just curious, is there any other sort of, it's really weird for me to ask this question being that it's 2020 because it's not a normal year by any measure. were there any sort of other things that came out of this experience for you that you was a surprise perhaps, or that you weren't aware of when you started embarking on that journey to really build Elect?
I think I'm pleasantly surprised how many people liked the social impact work of Elect. And I do get I'd also get feedback. I have two groups of people. I have a group of people who says, love what Elect does with the small business and corporate buyers and the marketplace. Forget about the gender equality. Put them as a back burner or don't talk about it. Just focus on that model. And then the rest of it, the reason they're interested in Elect was purely because of the gender equality piece or the social impact piece, that they want to be involved and be participate in the business. And so I'm surprised that there is still a group of people who are not, they're not bad, or they didn't say that in a malicious way. It was more of a case of we have been having to hide things of talking about gender equality and not be known as feminists, or, and I'm not talking about women, it's just men and women, not to be seen as a feminist, not to be seen as supportive of gender equality, so out there in a business world, that I'm surprised that still happens, but also at the same time, not surprised in 2020.
Yeah.
So I think we do have a long way to go, but what I'm really enjoying is how the group, luckily the group is much bigger for those who want me to keep going what I'm doing and actually championing me. So that's that, because you never know when you're starting a business, like you said, you put your hard work and sweat into it. You don't know if you're on the right track and you don't know if you should continue, you know, am I dreaming this? Is this crazy? It's such an unusual thing that I'm doing. But then you get feedback like that and I thought, okay, I'm just going to keep going.
That's so powerful. And it's this thought occurred to me very recently, which is, you know, the true pioneers, you're literally going down a path that hasn't been created before. Mm. You're creating a path. And so it's very hard to look, you know, and we like to do this, we like to compare and see what other people are doing or whatever, who else has been down this road before, right? Like I mentioned, you know, yeah, Kiva, for example, but they're similar, but not the same. There's difference. And so, you know, and so you have to go, well, I'm looking for those little signals to say I'm on the right path. I love that, because you've gone purpose, you lead with a purpose, you know, Simon Sinek speaking to me right now, lead with your why. And then what that does is it brings the right people, buyers, partners, it brings, and they're the ones that you want to play with, like the people who are going, oh, maybe that's not right. We don't want to deal with the whole gender equality thing. We're going to hide that message. That's okay. That's your choice. But, you know, for you, it's very easy for you to say, well, okay, well, perhaps you're not an ideal partner for us.
Exactly.
And, you know, and we will find those, because there are those who are out there who want, and there's companies that want to really push towards that end state. So that's really, really amazing. And I'm so glad that you thank are you. Where you are. And, you know,
thanks, but, Anthony.
So thank you so much, Sandra. Is there, I'm just going to put your website up here again for everyone listening. www.elect, that's ELLECT.biz. It's two L's. Sandra D'Souza, I'll put all your links into all the show notes and things. But definitely go and support the platform. If you're all about gender diversity and you know, being good and doing good, then that's the place to go. Any last messages for our listeners?
Well, Anthony, like I said, thank you for this amazing show and for giving me the opportunity to be able to talk about Elect and also how I get there. Sometimes it makes me realize that, you know, being surrounded by amazing people like yourself helps get the message out there, what I'm trying to do. And I do truly appreciate it. And great show, by the way. I really enjoyed talking to you and love your questions. It was great. I enjoyed that.
You're welcome. You know, this is my little, like, I'm calling it authentic influence, because it is about, you know, people. How do you influence others in a positive way and do it as you, show up as you, and not as you know, what you think people want you to be. And that's the hardest challenge I've had in my life, and I continue to have that challenge. But also, all my guests have gone through that. You know, what we thought we were 2 years ago or 1 year ago, you know, we're still evolving as humans.
Exactly.
And our businesses are the same. The businesses are, as you and I both know, are reflections of who we are, and who are we, who we're becoming. So, you know, Elect is just one iteration of Sandra D'Souza, and that will evolve over time. So we'll have to bring you back. But thank you so much, Sandra. Everyone listening, we'll see you again on the next episode.
Thanks, Anthony.
Now, just quickly, if you want to check out the show notes for this episode, just head over to simplecreativemarketing.com/podcast, and you can grab all the links and things and resources on there. And also, if you are a conscious entrepreneur, got a professional services business, working B2B, and you've got an interest in building influence and income through showing up, serving others, and being real, then I invite you to join my Authentic Influence Warriors Facebook group. If you want to do that, just head over to simplecreativemarketing.com/community. Okay, thanks for joining in, and I'll see you on the next episode.